I invite you to hear the very most important story of all time, the story of the resurrection of our Jesus Christ. This is Matthew's version, Matthew 28, 1 through 10. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone, and sat on it. His face shone like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the women. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you." The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they ran to him, grasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there."
Thanks, Alyssa. Appreciate it. Friends, today, of course, is Easter, and we're going to celebrate the greatest fact of all time, that Jesus Christ was literally, physically raised from the dead, and the disciples were able to see him and to touch him and to experience him, and not just the disciples, but hundreds of other people. And down to this very day, that fact that Jesus' body was no longer dead, but it was alive again, the fact that Jesus Christ kicked down the doors of the grave from the inside out remains the single central event of all time. That's what we're here to celebrate. This is an event that has changed lives for centuries, an event that continues to change lives today. And none more powerfully than a guy by the name of Saul. Now, Saul was a very, very important, prominent Jew from the town of Tarsus. In fact, Saul had made it his mission to wipe out Christianity. Saul went to Jerusalem, and he got powers and authority from the Jewish leaders to literally kill Christians, arrest Christians, stamp out what he saw as this heretical new faith. And so Saul was dedicating himself to doing exactly that, was going down to Damascus to round up the Christians there. And it was on his road to Damascus that he came face to face with the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. And everything changed for him, to the point where we'll see the story that Saul's life went from trying to wipe out Christianity to trying to make Christianity grow as much as possible. And it was all because he met the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And so Paul was the first one to say that this event, the fact that Jesus was dead and is now alive, is what makes all the difference in the world, to the point that we'll see Paul says, if the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not true, then he says Christianity is worthless. If Jesus Christ, the Bible says, was not raised from the dead, Christianity is pointless and it is worthless. Let me read to you these words from the scripture. We'll be reading from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 22. These are the words of Saul of Tarsus, who became known as Paul, Saint Paul. "Let me now remind you, dear brothers and sisters, of the good news I preached to you before. You welcomed it then, and you still stand firm in it. It is this good news that saves you if you continue to believe the message I told you, unless, of course, you believed something that was never true in the first place. I passed on to you what was most important and what had also been passed on to me. Christ died for our sins, just as the scripture said. He was buried and he was raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scripture said. He was seen by Peter and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, as though I had been born at the wrong time, I also saw him. For I am the least of all the apostles. In fact, I'm not even worthy to be called an apostle after the way I persecuted God's church. But whatever I am now, it is all because God poured out his special favor on me, and not without results. For I have worked harder than any of the other apostles, yet it was not I, but God who was working through me by his grace. So it makes no difference whether I preach or they preach, for we all preach the same message you have already believed. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless, and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. And you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Well, friends, today, obviously, it is Easter day today, the most important, the most wonderful day of the whole year. It's the day that we get to especially celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, the fact that the grave wasn't strong enough to hold him in, the fact that the forces of hell and death did everything in their power to defeat him, and it wasn't enough. Jesus is greater, Jesus is stronger, Jesus is more powerful than anything that the world, that the forces of evil can throw his way, and we are here celebrating that fact today. But I think it's kind of funny that it's also April Fool's Day. And April Fool's Day has not fallen, or I should say Christmas, sure. Easter has not fallen on April Fool's Day since 1956. And it won't fall again on April Fool's Day until 2029. Now, have you ever wondered why Easter is never on the same day? I mean, like Christmas is December 25th. You can always bank on it. But Easter varies all over the place. Well, first of all, it's because Easter happened on a Sunday. And so the church wants to make certain we always celebrate the resurrection on a Sunday. And so what the church decided to do is make Easter fall on the first Sunday following the first full moon of the spring equinox. So there, that's why it happens. So the day of the week, Sunday, never changes. But the date, it can vary by almost 6 weeks. It's crazy. Now, the origin of Easter, we all know that. That's crystal clear. It's the resurrection of Jesus. But the origin of April Fool's Day is not at all clear. One leading theory is that it came into being when our current Gregorian calendar replaced the Julian calendar, which is what had been used. The Gregorian calendar placed New Year's Day on January 1, and so all the world started celebrating New Year's on January 1, except for those who either didn't get the word that the Gregorian replaced the Julian or refused to embrace the new, because the Julian calendar had New Year's right about now, right around the spring equinox. So the people who continued to celebrate New Year's Now we're called April Fools by the rest of the world because they weren't with it. And one theory is that this was then transferred over to England and over to the United States, and it became in time a day to play practical jokes on one another. Now, most of us have played April Fool's jokes on other people, and we've, of course, had people try to play jokes on us. But my experience is it rarely works, right? Because everybody and their mother's dog is expecting someone to try to play a joke on them on April Fool's Day. But friends, I want to ask, what do you think? What if the very thing that brings us all here today, what if the very thing that defines us as Christians, what if the very thing that sets us free from sin and death never really happened at all? There can be absolutely no doubt at all, none, that Jesus Christ was a historic figure. I don't know any reputable historian, and I'm a historian. That was my major. I don't know any reputable historian who would doubt that Jesus Christ was a historic person. And you can read from many non-Christian historians that they'll tell you there is rock solid, very solid evidence that Jesus was a man from Nazareth who lived in Israel in the first century, that many people thought he was the Jewish Messiah, and that he was put to death by Rome. That nobody seems to doubt. But the resurrection, well, that's a different story because there are a lot of people who doubt the resurrection. Some, sadly, even who call themselves Christians, doubt the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you can see why. I mean, really, right? Let's face it. The resurrection defies logic. The resurrection defies reason. Dead bodies don't just suddenly become not dead anymore. That doesn't make sense. But friends, the Christian faith and the eternal salvation of the billions of people through the centuries who have embraced Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior all depend upon the truth of the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. If Jesus was not physically raised from the dead, then our faith is useless. If Jesus Christ was not physically raised from the dead, then Christianity is pointless. If Jesus Christ did not get up out of the grave alive again, then we are all of us the biggest April Fools of all time. Author and theologian Timothy Keller writes this. He says, if Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead. Easter is the event, friends. Everything about our faith hangs on whether or not the resurrection is true. It hangs on whether or not Easter is true. You know, that's the whole reason we worship on Sunday, we Christians, right? Because what is the Bible's very clear. What's the Sabbath day according to God? God declared the Sabbath day to be Saturday. Right? When did Jesus and all the Jews worship? Saturday. So why do we worship on Sunday? We worship on Sunday because Christians started to get together every single solitary Sunday to celebrate the resurrection. And in time, it simply became our day of worship. And so literally, friends, whether you know it or not, the entire reason we gather every Sunday is to celebrate the resurrection. Every time we come together, we as a group are testifying to our faith that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The early church all saw the resurrection as the indisputable most important thing that ever happened. After Judas died, the disciples had to replace him. And it was very important to them that whoever replaced Judas had to be the most important thing of all, and that was an eyewitness to the resurrection. If they had not met the risen Savior, if they had not seen him before he was dead, if they had not seen him die, and if they had not seen him after he died, then they could not be an apostle. The Bible tells us that Peter stood up among the disciples and said this, "So now we must choose a replacement for Judas from among the men who were with us the entire time we were traveling with the Lord Jesus, from the time he was baptized by John until the day he was taken from us. Whoever is chosen will join us as a witness of Jesus' resurrection." That's what they had to do. That's what all early Christian preaching was, that Jesus is alive. Every sermon was the same. He is risen and he is here with us. The apostles all got in trouble because they went throughout Jerusalem right under the noses of the Jewish authorities saying that Jesus was alive, even though they knew that was illegal to do that. The Bible says the apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. And then several years after Easter, St. Paul was going all throughout Europe proclaiming the good news of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he went to Athens. And Athens at the time was the center of learning. That's where scholars came to learn. And Paul met with all the top-notch scholars of Athens, and he declared the good news there. And the Bible says the Greeks actually laughed at him because he proclaimed that this dead Jew wasn't dead anymore, that he rose from the dead, and he is why you and I will live forever. Do you see, friends, from the very beginning, the resurrection is the central event. It is the most important thing that has ever happened. It's what you and I hang on for our faith. It's the linchpin of everything that we believe in. And that's why St. Paul proclaims, if it's not true, then our whole faith is worthless. If Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless. And your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that can't be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless. And you are still guilty of your sins. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we're more to be pitied than anyone in the world. So the Bible, the apostles, Christianity itself all testifies that the most important thing is embracing the fact of the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. So do we offer any proof of that? Do we offer any hardcore evidence that this all-important truth is really true? My answer to you, friends, is absolutely. There is very, very strong, compelling evidence that Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. There's a lot of compelling truth, and one of the leading things is something that nobody has ever been able to explain. And that is the radical change in the disciples, right? The absolute radical change. They went from night and day, from before the resurrection to after the resurrection. John Stott, a best-selling author and one of the premier theologians of the 20th century, writes, "Perhaps the transformation of the disciples is the greatest evidence of all for the resurrection. When Jesus died, they were heartbroken, confused, and frightened. But within less than 2 months, they came out of hiding full of joy, confidence, and courage. What can account for this dramatic transformation? Only the resurrection, together with Pentecost, which followed soon afterwards." Right? Think about it. If you know the Bible, what happened when Jesus was arrested? How many of the disciples stayed there with him? None. How many of the disciples all fled like scared rabbits? All of them. Every single one of them deserted Jesus. Every single one of them denied Jesus. Every single one of them ran and hid, literally behind locked doors, between locked windows, afraid of seeing their own shadow, afraid of being identified as one of Jesus' followers. They were scared spitless. And when they were asked, "Are you one of his followers?" "No, I don't know the man." And then suddenly, every single one of them are standing in the streets of Jerusalem saying, "Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, and I am an eyewitness of that." And they were told, "If you don't be quiet, we are going to kill you." And every single one of them said, "We saw what we saw. We know what we know. Kill us. But Jesus is risen from the dead." Of the 11 disciples left after Judas died, 10 were killed in very gruesome ways. 10 were killed for their insistence that Jesus was raised from the dead. And the one who wasn't killed, John, was sentenced to a lifetime in a penal colony for his insistence of the same thing, that Jesus rose from the dead. Every disciple was beaten, imprisoned, persecuted. 10 out of 11 were all killed for their statement that Jesus was risen from the dead and that they had seen it, right? So I need to ask you this. Which one of you would be willing to be put to death in a horribly painful way for something you know is a lie? Which one of you would be willing to die for a lie? Especially when you know all you have to do is say, "Yeah, it's a lie," and you'd be set free. That's all you had to do. And yet they all were willing to die for this truth that Jesus is risen. And secondly, we have rock solid evidence of eyewitness accounts of hundreds and hundreds of people. 11 different times the Bible records an appearance of Jesus after the resurrection, letting people see his scars, letting people put their finger into where the spear was in his side. After Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to individuals, he appeared to the disciples together, and he appeared one time to a group of over 500 people all at the same time. And when the Gospels were written, most of these people were still alive, and any of them could have denied the truth of the resurrection. But guess what? None of them did. Not one single one of them denied the truth, even when it cost them their lives. And some people today want to say, "Oh, well, you know, it was like wish fulfillment. It was like some hallucination." And they were just wanting Jesus to be alive so much. They just kind of believed that he was and had this hallucination. And you know what? That might be plausible if it happened to one person or two persons or three persons. But how does that happen to 500 plus all at the same time? Over 500 people all have the same hallucination at exactly the same time. That's harder to believe than the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Another compelling set of evidence is this, right? Is that the powers that be, the Roman and Jewish leaders, couldn't disprove the resurrection. And trust me, they tried. They tried everything. They tried beating it out of people. They tried bribing it out of people. They tried killing people for it. None of it worked. They could never disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they tried desperately to discredit Christianity. They tried desperately to discredit Jesus. They tried desperately to discredit Christianity itself, but they couldn't do it. You know, the easiest way to do it, right? If I'm trying to squash this thing, trot out the dead body. "Oh, is this your risen Savior?" But they couldn't do it. They could never produce the body. And not only that, they could never explain how anyone could possibly have stolen that body. Because that's what some people say, "Oh, well, the disciples stole." Really? There was a detachment of highly trained Roman guards 24/7 surrounding that tomb with, we know for a fact, these orders: anyone steals that body, you die. So you have this group of Roman soldiers, all know they will be killed if someone steals that body. And yet somebody was able to go there, roll a 2-ton stone uphill without any of the Roman soldiers noticing, carry the body away without any of these guys whose lives depending on it were able to notice. That's ridiculous. They were never able to discredit the resurrection. Why? Because it's true, friends. Because it really happened. We have the conversion of Saul. We already talked about that earlier. Saul was a very important man from a very important family. He was the very best student in the very best Jewish schools of the day. He was the fair-haired wonder child of Judaism. There was no doubt in anybody's mind Saul was going to be the man in Jerusalem. He was going to be the leader of the Jews. When inexplicably, he threw it all away. He threw away his career. He threw away his reputation, his wealth, his social standing, his power, his authority, eventually his life. He threw it all away, gave it all away in order to be able to follow the resurrected man that he met on the road to Damascus one day. Saul went from having everything anyone could possibly want to have nothing but beatings and shipwrecks and jailing and persecution and starvation and stoning time after time after time. And yet, even when he is sitting in prison with chains, knowing he is about to be executed, being told 100 times, all you have to do, Saul, is say, no, it's not true, and he wouldn't do it. He appears before the king himself with his chains on, right? Shackled and beaten and starving. Waiting to be killed. He knows he's about to be killed. And do you remember what he said to the king? He said, I wish you could have what I have. Oh my gosh, right? The king sitting on a golden throne with everything anyone could want. Paul is in rags, waiting to die in chains. And he says, I wish you could have what I have. Because he thought it was all worth it to know the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. But friends, I have to tell you this. The most compelling proof I can offer you today that the resurrection is true is the modern day accounts. I've already talked about the change that happened in the lives of the disciples and Saul. But here is what I want to witness to today, friends, is that Jesus Christ is still changing lives just like he did 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ is still transforming lives in just as powerful ways as he ever did. And I know. And the reason I know is that I am one of them. I am a person who was a drunk. I was a person who was throwing my life away. I was a person who went from an A student to an F student because I couldn't figure out what I wanted to do in college. So all I did is drink. All I did is party. All I did is tanked out. And then I met the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And I know I met him. I saw him. He welcomed me. He gave me grace. He transformed my life. I went complete turnaround. My life was completely transformed all because I met the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. There is no such thing as something as powerful as a personal experience. And I'm telling you, I met him. I continue to meet him. I know him. I love him. He's with me all the time. And I defy you to try to tell me I didn't see what I saw. I defy you to try to tell me I haven't experienced what I have experienced. I defy you to try to convince me that Jesus is not alive, because I know he's alive. I am with him all the time, and thanks be to God, he is with me all the time, and I am a life that is changed because Jesus Christ has risen from the grave, because Jesus Christ is offering me grace, because Jesus Christ won't give up on me, because Jesus Christ shares his spirit, his love, his presence with me. I know it's happened. It is a fact that Jesus is risen from the grave, and I know if I would ask, I won't, but I know if I were to ask, there would be hundreds in this room right now who could say the same thing. Their lives have been changed because of Jesus, the living Lord, Jesus Christ. I am who I am because Easter is true. I am who I am because Jesus rose from the dead, because Jesus appeared to me, because Jesus shares grace and love, making an intimate relationship with him possible. My friends, the proof is there. He is risen. But you have to decide for yourself. Do you believe or not? Just accept this impossible claim. Accept his incredible grace. Accept the risen one as your personal Lord and Savior. And I promise you, your life will be one that is changed as well. Your life will be one that will be different, better different, because he is alive. If you will accept him as your Savior, he will share his victory over the grave with you. With you. Praise be to God, my friends. He is risen. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the fact that Jesus Christ lives. I thank you, Jesus. I just want to worship you. I just want to fall at your feet and just stay there for the rest of eternity, just letting you know how much we love you, how worthy you are of all of our praise, all of our love, all of our adoration. You are so beautiful, and we thank you so much, Lord God. And so we simply ask, I ask, in the powerful name of Jesus, Lord, please, please allow all of us to embrace this truth of truth, unstop our ears, soften our hearts, drop the scales from our eyes, so that we can embrace the fact that you rose from the dead and you are here with us now. We thank you, God, for life. We thank you for Easter. We thank you for the fact that you share your resurrection with us. And we ask all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen and amen.